If you are listening to my voice and you are in kindergarten or below, would you lift your hand? You go to school, you're in kindergarten? If you go to kindergarten, lift your hand. All right. I'm going to be talking to you this morning. Now, if you're in the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh grade, would you lift your hand? Okay. I'm going to be talking to you this morning. Now, if you're in the seventh or eighth grade, are you here? Lift your hand. I'll be talking to you. So listen carefully. If you're in 9, 10, 11th, and 12th, I'll be talking to you. Are you here? I'll be talking to you. The sermon is to you. And if you are a young person or a child older than high school, I'll be talking to you. Nancy says, we're all children. We're all children. So what I have to say will not be that long, but it'll be very, very important because I'm speaking to the children. I want you to listen very, very carefully because when you leave, I want you to be able to say, hey, I am a somebody. I'm a somebody. The reason you're a somebody is that God doesn't make nobodies. God doesn't make nobodies. Now, there are two things I want you to know this morning. I want you to know that you are very special, young people. You're very, very special. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 32, the word says this. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and following. God said, let's make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, which we do not have, over the fowl of the air, which we do not have, over every creeping thing that moves upon the earth, which we do not have. But God ordained it that we, who have been created in his image, young people as well as parents, would be able to subdue the earth. But we haven't been able to do that because sin entered in. Now, children are very, very important. God said man and woman will come together and they'll have children. And praise the Lord that you children are here. And no matter how old you are still a child in God's eyes. And I want you to see two things today. And the first is that there are two duties. Duty number one, young people, you are very, very special. You're very, very special. In the Jewish days gone by, when a boy baby came into the world, there was great rejoicing. There was rejoicing because that boy would carry on the name of that family. And to have a boy baby was very, very important. And if a girl was born, they still would have rejoicing because the girls were very, very important too. And sometimes parents would dedicate their children to God before they were even born. A baby in a womb, a mother would say, God, I'm going to give you my baby. I'm going to give you my baby. Maybe some of you were dedicated to God before you even were born. It is a biblical principle. Names were very significant too. And all of you have names. And some of you know what your name means. Now, two things I want you to know. First of all, the duty, you have a duty to know that you are special. You are special. I wish to God that I had known that when I was growing up. When I went to elementary school and when I was in high school, I didn't know it. Now, I was a Christian, but I didn't know that I was special. And it took many years after that for it to sort of sink in. And finally, I realized, hey, I am special. And I can't change what happened years gone by, but I can proclaim to you young people that you are very, very special. You're special. Because God doesn't take time to make a nobody. And it doesn't matter whether you've got red hair, black hair, blonde hair, or no hair. It doesn't make any difference whether you're tall or short, whether you're heavy or light. You are a very, very special person to God. Now, this may not seem very important, but I do want to hear everybody in this auditorium sanctuary say, I am special.
I am special.
Say it again.
I'm special.
People, you are. You are. Oh, I can't be special because I failed that last test. That doesn't have anything to do with being special. I can't be special because Daddy always yells at me or Mom's picking on me. Yes, you're special. Parents have got to learn how to raise children. And in the meantime, the children oftentimes suffer. But you are very, very special. You are special. And we adults must protect our children. We've got to be careful when we grow up our children that, like a tender plant sometimes has a little fence put around it to protect that plant. We need to put our arms of love around our children so they grow up. You know, an aged tree in the forest doesn't need protection, but the little saplings do. And one little boy was walking with his dad hand in hand on a date, and they were walking along the way, and they came across a little tree, an old twisted oak tree. And the little boy looked at it, and the father noticed that he was really concerned about that tree. It was so distorted. And the little boy said, "You know, Daddy, I think somebody stepped on that tree when it was little." Parents, we must be careful not to step on our children while they're little, because we can injure them for life. There's enough scars and dents on our personality as we grow up from our peers. We as parents must be very careful that we don't add to it. We must place stakes along our children so they can attach their life to it. And the church does this. The church provides a stake of stability. The first stake is the cross, and it's implemented and supported by the family. And so as parents, we do this to our children. We want them to be able to adhere to us like the vine and the branch to Jesus. So there are four things, kids, to know that you are somebody. And the first is this. Be yourself. Be yourself. Don't try to copy your brother or your sister or somebody else in school. Just be yourself. Because nobody is alike. Nobody is alike. Parents aren't alike. Mothers aren't alike. Fathers aren't alike. How can we expect the children to be alike too? So kids, just be yourself. Just be yourself in what you do. Naturally do it to the best of your ability, but don't copy somebody else. Oh, we got so many peer pressures. When I was growing up, if I didn't have one chartreuse sock and one lavender sock, I wasn't in. And I had to have different colored shoelaces because my friend down the street had them. And we would tie them all crooked, and the fads come and go, and there are fads going. You know, if you don't want to do that, you don't have to. You can stand up and say, "Hey, I want to be a somebody. Everybody's got a jean jacket. That's okay. Well, I'm not going to have a jean jacket." You know, it is okay to be yourself, to be yourself, to be yourself. Secondly, is this. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer because you've got Jesus as your partner. Now, this I didn't know when I was growing up. I didn't know I had Jesus as a partner. I had him as my Savior, and that was wonderful because on the cross he died for me. Now it's empty. He's the resurrected Savior. But I didn't know I had him as my partner. I knew about business partners. I knew about people having partners to do this or that. But it never dawned on me that I could take Jesus as my partner. And kids, you can take him as your partner too, in school and at home. Be of good cheer. You've got Jesus as your partner. Now, normally, the earth will have springing up thorns and briars and thistles. The soil has to have cultivation to grow good plants. So as soil, since we've been made from the earth, we need to say, "God, I'm going to cultivate my life. I'm going to cultivate some areas in my life, even as a child, even as a young person, so that I will know that I'm somebody. I'm going to cultivate the area that you are with me and you're going to help me. You're going to be with me in all that I do. I'm going to be of good cheer because I've got you as my partner." Adults can well take this into heart too. We got Jesus as our partner. And so I'm going to be of good cheer. I'm going to realize that parents know best for me. I'm going to realize that I must listen to my teacher at school. I'm going to realize that I've got Jesus as my partner. And having him as my partner, then I'm going to be able to be of good cheer and not cast down. Let me tell you what one person said who was raising fish. They said, "These are beautiful fish, but they're small fish. And the guy who was raising him at the aquarium said, now if I turn the little fish loose, they're going to bite the hook. But if I let them grow bigger and bigger, they're going to know not to bite the hook. The little fish says, turn me loose, turn me loose, turn me loose. I want to be free, I want to be free, turn me loose. Children say, turn me loose, let me do my thing. Turn me loose, turn me loose. Parents say, no, it's not wise. True story, a little toddler found a razor blade on the floor and the father quickly picked it up, petrified and saying, God, forgive me for letting this happen. It's my razor blade that fell on the ground. The little baby just throws a temper tantrum. Give me the razor blade. Give me the razor blade. I want the razor blade. Father says, no. Child continues the temper tantrum because parents and teachers know what's best for their children. And so for the little fish that are swimming around, stay where you are and listen. Be yourself. Be of good cheer. You got Jesus with you as you listen. And thirdly, beyond yourself. Beyond yourself. What that means is that in the home structure, be considerate of other family members, brothers and sisters that you have. Be considerate of these people. Beyond yourself. Have a relationship that is good with your mom and dad and with your brothers and your sisters. Then fourth, in knowing that you are a somebody, just be aware. Be aware of that as you grow up, you are planning, you are building, you are doing things that you are going to reap when you get old. You know, children, for all ages, if a crack appears in the upper part of a building, the reason for the crack probably is the foundation. The reason for the crack appearing is not up there, the reason is down there. And so the foundation that you children are building upon is very, very important. And these things are necessary for you just to have the fulfilling of this one duty to know that you are a somebody. You are a very important person. Now, you may not think your mom and dad know that or believe it. You may not think that your brothers or sisters know this. You may not even think that your neighbors, friends know this. But kid, you are. You are so important. We can't get along without you. You are very, very important. So the first of the two duties is this. Know that you are a somebody. You're a somebody. Now the second duty has to do with your relationship to your parents. And we want to turn to God's Word now. The second duty is to know the obligations to your parents. And we're going to look at just four. And the first comes from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. You children, if you want to turn, you can. We want you to listen very carefully. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obey your parents. This is a duty that God has never changed. Obey your parents. Obey your parents. Well, I don't want to obey my parents. But children, it says in the Word to obey your parents. Well, they're wrong all the time. Obey your parents. Obey your parents. This is supplemented with other scriptures, like in the Proverbs. I've chosen three to read. One comes from Proverbs 1, 8 and 9. You don't have to turn to it. It just says, my son, hear the instruction of your father, and forsake not the law of your mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto your head and chains about your neck. You know, especially you children, when you get a little bit older, your teens and prior tens, you want to dress up, you want to wear jewelry, you want to wear your ornaments of different kinds. It says right here, the best thing that you can wear can be listening to your father and listening to your mother and obeying them. And when they say, take the garbage out, and you say, I don't want to take the garbage out, but they said do it, so I'll do it, and you do it. Then when you are obeying your parents, it's like putting a chain, a beautiful gold chain around your neck. It is decorating yourself up when you obey your parents. The scripture says in Ephesians 6:1, obey your parents. And then the scripture also says, not only do we obey our parents, but in Colossians 3:20, it says, children, Obey your parents in all things. In all things obey your parents. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So first, when you obey your parents, it's like putting chains of gold and decorating yourself up with jewelry. People do that to make it look good. Okay. Secondly, if you do this, it says that it's going to be something very, very beautiful, because the scripture says God's going to be very pleased with what you do. You know, we always want to please people, please our parents. We want to especially please the Lord. So first of all, obligation to parents, you are to obey your parents. Secondly, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, it says we are to honor our parents. It says, honor your father and your mother. And it says, this is the first commandment. It tells us why we're supposed to honor them. Because it is that which is going to give us long life. That it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. So kids, not only do we obey our parents, but we honor our parents. Now this is for all children of all ages. It is for me. It is for me to honor my parents, for you to honor your parents. But for the children who live with their parents, God says, honor them. Honor them. It's the fifth commandment. And it says in Deuteronomy 5:16 that it may go well with you. If you're saying, hey, nothing is going right for me. Nothing is going right for me. Everything is a bummer. Everything is down at school. As you get older, my dating is down. Everything, it's all wrong. Well, maybe, just maybe, it goes back to the fact you haven't done this duty, which is to obey and honor your parents. Do you know, parents, that for a short time when you're raising children, you stand in place of God? When you're raising children, they're very small, up to a certain age, you actually stand in the place of God. That is why it's so important for parents to know their obligations to raising children, too. We're to obey them. We are to honor them. And then in Leviticus 19:3, it says that we are to fear them. Now this is very important. I want your children to listen very carefully. It doesn't mean that you're to be afraid of your mom and dad, even though if they may be very strict disciplinarians, but it means that you are to fear your father and mother in this respect. Just like right now, I have a fear of God. I fear God. He is a loving God, but still, He is awesome, and I have a fear of God. Children are to have this with their parents. And when you have a profound reverence for your parents, when you have a profound respect for your parents, then you're going to follow God's word, which says, honor and obey your parents. Well, people, we at the church have a great obligation to take care of these little children. We've got a great obligation to raise them. And parents have a great obligation to raise them, because they are waiting for help. Now listen, children. Many years ago, a little boy was left as an orphan. He did not have a father, he did not have a mother. They both had died. Before his mother died, the mother said, son, remember this, God will always take care of you. God will always take care of you. So this little fellow was out near the street, just sitting there. Incidentally, he had fever. He was ill. A man passed by and saw the little fellow. There was nobody around. He looked around. There was no father. There was no mother. There was just this little fellow sitting right there. He reached over and said, how you doing, son? And then as he touched his head, he saw the boy out there and had fever. What are you doing? Waiting. What? I'm waiting? And the little fellow said, mister, God took mom and dad to heaven to live with him. But before mommy died, mommy said, God will send you help. I'm waiting. I am waiting for help. And the man said, sonny, God sent me. Picked the little fellow up. You know what the little boy said? Mommy said mommy never tells stories, and mommy said, if I'll just wait, God will help me. But mister, why did it take you so long? Why did it take you so long? There are children who are spiritually dying because adults are not taking care of them. And they're waiting, they're waiting, they're waiting, and they're looking, and they're praying unconsciously, like, I want some help. I want some help in this house that I'm living in. I want my dad and my mom to understand me. I am not a nobody. I'm a somebody. And we parents have got to be so sensitive to our children's needs. And while we, as we are matured, supposedly, and older, we don't realize, hey, we at one time were like them. And they got hurts. They got fears. They got anxieties. They got problems running out of their ears. And we say, this isn't a problem. Stand tall and straight and handle it. You can handle it. But you know, we couldn't when we were young, perhaps. And what we can cope with, they can't. As an older person, we can say, well, so-and-so said that nasty thing about me. Well, this is not unusual for adults. If somebody says something bad about you, well, we can let it run off like water off a duck's back. Because we were able to handle it with our spiritual relationship to God. But when a little child gets hit by things that their playmates say to them, they can't, they don't have it. So what do they need? They need you as a stake upon which they can fasten their life. They need you as a fence around them to protect them, to hold them tight and say, I do understand, and I love you. I love you. You want to know how to get good sheep? You take care of the lambs. You take care of the lambs. And God has given the church the responsibility of taking care of the lambs. He's given the family unit, the husband and wife, the responsibility of taking care of the lambs. That's why you kids are special. You know, you are the most important people in this world. Are you looking at me and are you listening? I want you to see me. You are the most important person in this world. And if you were the only person in this world, God sent his son to die for you. So that not only can you be saved, but then you can start growing in him. Growing in him. And what we as the church have got to do is to snatch them up wherever they are and bring them into the church. Let me close with this little story. Before the days of concrete sidewalks, in the buckboard days when sidewalks were made of wooden planks, a mother was holding her daughter and they were window shopping. And they had stopped at a store. The mother got so engrossed in what she was seeing that she turned loose on her daughter and just started looking at the things in the window. Well, when she had turned loose, the little girl said, well, that's it, in free time. And so the little toddler started going out, got into the street. Got into the street. About this time, a runaway buckboard was headed down this dusty little main street of the town. Out of control. Headed right for that little baby. Some of the people who were half a block away and even closer just stood in amazement, in awe. What's going to happen? Wait, what's going to happen? You put runaway horse plus one toddler, you get injury. All of a sudden, a person on the other side of the street saw what was happening, and she dropped everything that she had, and she rushed with all the strength of her might and swooped up that little toddler, got the little baby out of the path of that runaway buckboard. Everybody clapped. One man walked over and said, boy, I know you surely must be happy that you saved your daughter. And she looked. She said, not my daughter. You mean you risked your life to get that little girl? It's not your daughter? And she said, no. But she's somebody's daughter. You are somebody's daughter. You're somebody's son. And you are important. And God has said that you, as children, are to know two things. You have duties. And one is duties to know that you're somebody. And secondly, know the duties of the obligation that you have to your parents. Now, you may not like your mom and dad at times, but God, that's the only mom and dad you got. So the next time things get uneven at home, you children ask God to help you and to bless you. And I have known fathers and mothers that have been changed because of children. Believe it or not, kids, the Bible says a little child will lead them. We need to be led, and you kids can do it. Would you bow with me as we pray? Father God, we thank you for the children, how precious they are, how beautiful they are, how beautiful they are. I come against the tricks and lies of Satan, which would come to children of all ages and say, oh, who could love you? Who can like you? This is wrong with you, and that's wrong with you. God, help the children to know what you want them to know right now. Help them not to be blinded. Help them not to listen to the lies of the enemy. I don't know why it took so long for me to learn this, Father, but I want to share with the children that they can learn quickly that they are very, very important. When I had that little wart on the end of my little finger when I was in elementary school, I thought everybody in the world knew I had that wart. It made me withdraw and be most unsociable because of that little tiny wart that nobody even knew I had. Satan lied to me. God, we come against the power of the enemy that lies to the children today who listen to my voice. Satan lies to them and say, this is wrong with you. You're no good because of that. We're asking that this be countered by the spirits of God, where these children can rise up and say, hey, I'm a somebody. I've been made in the image of God. And I am loved by God. And I'm somebody very, very special. And we come against, in Jesus' name, the tricks and the lies of the evil one who would come and just make out of proportion all the things that are negative in the children. The positive things are they've got Jesus in their heart and they've got the power of God in their life and they are overcomers. They are overcomers. And help the church to help the kids be fulfilled in that act of overcoming. In Jesus' name, I ask your blessings upon every single child here. In Jesus' name, may your spirit right now go right to those children, Father God, who are in elementary and preschool right now. May the spirit of God go to each child in every pew right now. Elementary and under. Thank you, Jesus. May your Holy Spirit right now go to every person who is in elementary school, grade 1 through 7 right now. In Jesus' name, right now, Father God, move throughout the sanctuary and just touch each one of those children in elementary school. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now may your spirit go to the junior highs right now, in the 7th grade and the 8th grade. Jesus' name, spirit move, go right to those 7th graders and 8th graders. To the high school kids, right now, Father God, may the Holy Spirit just move to them and just attach themselves to them. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We don't stop with the high school children. We go to all the rest of the children who are here. All the children who are here, who are out of high school and out of college. Adults. We as adults are children. Jesus even himself said, unless you become as a child, you can't even enter the kingdom of heaven. So we adults as children. May the Spirit of God move to each one right now. And Father, where there is no salvation, may the Holy Spirit convict, and may that person say in their heart, I believe in Jesus. I will believe what he did for me upon the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And we come to the Lord's Supper table as we serve communion. May, as we handle the elements, it be something very, very special to us. For we are handling power. That's in the personage of Jesus. And may, as the children who partake of communion, have this experience at your table right now, Father, may they realize as never before that they are handling the blood, they're handling the body of Jesus, and they're handling power that's within them. For with Jesus, they can do all things. Adults can do it too. May the serving be very special, Father, as we accept your invitation to sit at your table and hear the words of Paul as he said, "As this was given to me, so I give it to you." In like manner, on that evening before Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he took the fruit of the vine and he passed it to his disciples. And as we do that, Father, we do it today in memory of you. In memory of you. And as children, we look to you as the Father, and we will obey you, we will honor you, and yes, we will fear you. In Jesus' name, amen.